Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. Today I want to tackle this topic called the Empire of the White European Race. This is the shortened version. There is a longer version with more maps and more detail. But I thought I would quickly put this together because people are so despondent in South Africa, people are very despondent in North America, whites are not happy in Europe, everybody thinks it's the end of the game, that it's all over for whites, that we stand so little chance, except maybe for people like Nordic Resistance, who are a pretty tough group and doing excellent work, but lots of whites think it's the end of the line. So I wanted to show a few things, and in this video I'm just going to be tackling the issue of territory, blood and soil. I'm not touching on the issue of race and why it's important. There are many more things to say. But I just want to try and explain this to try and show whites that we are far, far from finished. Far from finished. We might be 8% of the world's population, but we are far from finished. This game has hardly even begun. So the first thing I just want to mention is the title says The Empire of the White Race, and in brackets I put European. Because I am thinking that the term white is becoming problematic. Jews, liberals, and assorted scum take the term white and they start ripping it apart. And then you start ending up with other things. As if the key thing here is skin color. Skin color isn't everything here. And you get your Mediterranean whites, who are slightly darker, they are referred to by the people in Central Europe, they talk about the people of the Iberian Peninsula as being the brown people, because they are slightly darker. And that in and of itself is history, important history, things to get back to. There are all kinds of complications here. But ultimately, the Jew and the liberal is trying to make you believe that there is no such thing as the white race. And I think the best term is actually European, because we used to fill in forms when I was a kid in Africa, in Rhodesia and in South Africa. The forms used to say, when it came to race, it said European, African. So the race was identified by the continent the people came from. And I think even in America they used to have the term European. But now the problem has become that the whites who left Europe and colonized other continents, those whites then wanted to make themselves be seen as not colonizers, but people who are permanently there. They've set down their roots there. So now the term European has quietly moved away. But the reality is that race is real, and the key issue in race that you have to remember is that we are related to each other. We are related by blood. And even scientific studies have shown, for example, that everybody who lives in Europe is related to a group of people who lived in Belgium 35,000 years ago. Everybody in Europe is related to a tiny group of people who lived in Belgium 35,000 years ago. And if you go back even further to the time of the Aryans, These are the people that we are all related to. These are our ancestors. But as we spread out and we move to other territory and we interbred and our breeding patterns changed, we created new variations of white people. But we are still all related and we all come from Europe. So I think European is the best way to describe it. And if people say race does not exist, then you just tell them to shut the hell up. Race does exist. And race, by our definition, is simply we are all from the same ancestry. End of story. End of story. There's nothing else to discuss. But if you start talking too much about white, then the Jew with all his sophistry and all his assorted nonsense starts getting in there, starts screwing with your head, trying to make you believe that race doesn't exist. So I think European is the better term. Anyway, I want to just discuss the empire of the white race. And I want to present it to you in this simple way so that you can understand a few things. And then you'll see that there's a whole lot that's going for us and is working great for us. And we must just not listen to liberals and Jews and communists. We must stick together as a racial group. And part of this, and part of the future, is the term pan-European nationalism, which is about bringing all the whites that are of European descent, bringing them together as a political entity. I would go so far as to say that the step should really be pan-European racialism. That what we need is pan-European racialism, meaning that all people descended from Europe, that we stand together on a racial basis, because that is what National Socialism is. And if you don't know what a National Socialist is, that is a Nazi. National Socialist is the correct term for a Nazi. You will understand that all these things are scientific, all these things are historical. There's actually nothing to quibble about. It's Jews, liberals, assorted traitors, and backstabbing scum who are trying to just confuse white people. That's all. So, a pan-European entity, a pan-European racial entity, an empire. Could whites have an empire? And the answer is yes. And I'm going to show you in a very simple way how it would work. There's the concept of blood and soil. And blood and soil is an ancient concept of whites. And it basically states that you defend the territory that you live in. So, let us throw nationalism out the window. Guys like Andrew Anglin at the Daily Stormer, who's trying to angle towards nationalism as a goal, that's old hat. Nationalism has been done for the last 1,000 years. That's old stuff. We need to move to a new level. We need to go to pan-European nationalism, or as I prefer, pan-European racialism. And we need an empire of our race. So blood and soil is the basic concept by which our people have lived for tens of thousands of years. And it basically means that wherever you live, you fight for your territory, you fight for your home, you fight for the place you live in. And this system works extremely well for us. It's always worked for us. And it's only World War II that screwed it up for us, thanks to the Jews bringing the entire world to invade Europe. So what I want to say to you is the following. Assume that there was a massive world war immediately, right now, that there was a huge world war based on race, and it started today. Then Imagine that whites have to fight for their existence in every corner of the planet, and the people that they will fight against are non-whites. So what would be the outcome of this? Well, the outcome would be that in places where white people dominate, that white people would easily destroy the non-whites that they are coexisting with. So we could, as a very simple assumption, we could say that in any place, in any territory, where whites make up more than 50% of the population, the whites will win. The truth of the matter is, if you understand race and IQ and other things, you will see that the situation's even more favorable. That in places where the whites are 40%, 30%, they could still win. But I'm not going to go into that. Let's just work on the basic assumption that in any territory where whites are 50% or more, that they will win in that territory and be able to hold on to that territory. Let's use that as the basis for this. So now I'm going to show you what would then be the empire of the white race. If the entire white race had to fight everybody else except other whites, then which part of the planet would be white? So that's what we're going to take a look at here. Here is a little map that I've got. This is a map that was drawn up quite a long time ago. Somebody drew this up in 2013. And this map, the yellow on this map, is called Caucasoid Celtic. And the green part of it is called Caucasoid, and I can't really make it out. But anyway, just look at the yellow part. Somebody drew up this map in 2013. And by the way, liberals, Jews, the mass media, communists, and assorted garbage, they will not draw up maps of race because they are anti-race and they are anti-white. So what has happened in recent years is that a number of people have, of their own accord, taken data and tried to actually construct a racial map of the world. And this one from 2013 is one that somebody put together. So have a look at this. In here, you can see yellow, and you can see that all of Europe is yellow. You can see that yellow spreads deep into Russia. You can see that America and Canada are yellow. This is the Caucasian race. We whites used to be known as Caucasians, and I'm not going to go into that, but that is basically us. You can see New Zealand, Australia is Caucasian. Then you'll see something very interesting. You'll see that South America, the southern third or so of South America, is Caucasian. But then you'll see Caucasian stretches across North Africa, the Middle East, and into India. And although those people are physically known as Caucasians, they're not exactly the same as Europeans. So you can see this map is showing you quite a bit of where whites actually are, but maybe it's not dead accurate. So let's go and look at a few other things. Another thing that you can look at is IQ. IQ, if you look at this map, this is a map of intelligence. You can look at America, you can look at Canada, you can look at Europe, you can look into Russia, and you'll see that you've got basically people who are of the same intelligence level. And intelligence is related to race. Not strictly, but there is a strong relationship there. Notice South America again. The bottom part of South America, there you can see. But now you can see that on intelligence, Indians and North Africa and the Middle East is not the same. You'll see that New Zealand and Australia comes through clearly. And by the way, look at Africa. Africa, the continent with the stupidest people on the planet. There it is, in your face. And I just want to show you something else that will also just give you a bit of an idea of Africa. This is a 2006 map of hunger in the world. Look at Africa. Look at the extent of hunger in Africa. Look at some of the hunger in Latin America and the northern part of South America, but not in the area where you saw the Caucasians. So here you can see places where the non-whites are struggling to exist. But the whites are fine. The whites aren't struggling with a hunger problem. Here is another map that somebody drew up, trying to get to the ethnic groups of the world by the end of the 20th century. And this person, this map says European Caucasoid. So European Caucasoid is green, and here on this map you can see Europe, Northern Europe, Southern Europe, and you can see stretching straight into Asia. You can see all that group is white. You can see that the same grouping stretches into Canada and North America, except for the coasts. And then you can see, yet again, the bottom one-third of South America is white. So this is a pretty accurate map showing places where whites are the majority. Here is a map that I couldn't get a proper definition of. But this map seems to be a map based on perhaps the time of colonialism. And it's called Categories of White World Supremacy. This is a very interesting map because what it shows some interesting things that you won't see on other maps. You'll see that sort of brownish, dark brown area. It's called Areas of White Settlement. You can see the United States. You can see Canada. You can see again Europe stretching into Russia. Then you can see some other interesting things. Take a look at Africa and chunks of Asia. That coloring says areas of white political control over colored populations. So I think this was done in the time of colonialism, or this map reflects colonialism. So it says these are areas, and you can see most of Africa falls under this. These are areas where white people had political control over non-whites, and it stretched into Asia, into India. So that's the British Empire, the French Empire, the Portuguese Empire, the German Empire probably. Then it's got a bluish color which says areas of mixed white and colored populations. Here you'll see the bottom tip of South Africa. You'll see chunks of South America, and you'll see most of Latin America. So there are places where you've got mixed races. You've got whites with non-whites and mixtures of them, colored areas. And then finally, it's got a brown area, which is colored populations independent of white political control. In this case, I'm struggling to find out exactly where that is, whether that is South America. But anyway, this will give you an idea of when white power was at its greatest and when we controlled all of Africa and big chunks of Asia. But this is in the past and it's not quite the same now. I will leave you with this little map. This is a map somebody drew up, and this is a pretty decent map that shows you the map of the white race, and it shows it in proportions. It shows the darker blue areas and the lighter blue areas. I think that what they've got here are slight variations between the whites. So the lighter blue are the Western and Northern Europeans, and the darker blue are the whites of Italy, Iberia, the Slavic whites, etc. And this will give you a better idea of the distribution of those whites as they move to North America and South America. But this basic map that you see here, this is showing you the map of the white race. And as you can see, the white race actually stretches deep into Russia and even across Russia, right across to the far east of Asia. So if we had to have a race war and we had to fight for our territory, then this is the map that the white race controls. This is the area that the white race dominates. If the white race were a political entity, all of Europe, huge chunks of Russia, all of North America, and a big chunk of South America and Australia and New Zealand, that is our race. That is the empire of the white race. Notice Africa, no whites in Africa on this map. Even though we know that there are 4.2 million whites sitting in South Africa, we don't feature. So we either wouldn't exist, or I'm not going to go into the discussion about that. But we know that we still have got chunks of South Africa that we can control, but it should show you more clearly that whites do control, do dominate huge portions of this planet. And imagine that that was a political entity. Imagine that all those whites gathered together as a political entity. Look at the enormous chunk of the earth that we would dominate. It's a huge piece of the world that we would dominate. So that is just to give you an idea of the empire of the white race. But I have even more detailed and better maps than this, and I will discuss that in the longer video. But the key thing here for the whites of Africa is that at the time that we handed over power to the blacks, our stupid president of the time, the last white president who ruled us, he said to us that we have no choice but to interact with the non-whites. That our only hope for the future is to work with the non-whites. Yet, if we worked with the rest of our race and identified and worked with the rest of our race, that would give you an idea of the power of our race as a whole. And if our race threw away all these other junk boundaries and we created new states based on our ethnic basis, you would see we would look very different. North America and Canada, America itself and Canada could be one country. South America could be one country. Europe stretching into big chunks of Russia would be one country. Imagine the power of this thing. You are looking at the greatest superpower that exists. America at this point is regarded as the greatest superpower, and yet America only has a small fraction of our race. Imagine if everybody worked together, the power of our race. And this is why I don't regard these blacks in Africa as being of any importance whatsoever. We in South Africa should link up with the rest of our race. Then we'd be part of the greatest superpower that exists. And maybe we need to get a chunk of people from the rest of our race to come and inhabit South Africa so that we increase our numbers here. Then you would see the true power of our race. But I want to show you that we are a part of something that is huge. It is Jews, liberals, communists, basically garbage, human garbage, who want you to believe that we are nothing and nobody. And yet right now, even at the end of the 20th century, early into the 21st century, you can see the power of our race. Even though we only make up a small portion of a percentage of what the entire world is, we still control huge chunks of territory, vital chunks of territory. We've got military power that stretches across the planet. Nobody else has got this kind of power. The notion that we are dead and dying and we're going to die, this is complete rubbish. We are still a very dominant force. The only place that we've really lost territory in is Africa. Africa and India and parts of Asia, where we used to control the non-whites even though we were a minority. So that is the empire of the white race as it stands now, and it could be made to grow if we decided we wanted to. So look at this and realize that we are a power to be reckoned with. Europe is a power to be reckoned with. The greatest scientists on earth are in Europe. America is a military power to be reckoned with. If Europe wanted to be a military power, it would be even stronger than America. Imagine European military power plus American military power plus the whites of South America and Australia and so forth. Then you would see this is an empire, this is an enormous thing. And unity of this thing would be unbelievable. Everybody else would fade into insignificance. The Africans, even China and the Indians would fade into total insignificance. We would be the dominant force that exists. So, this is the short version. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be chatting again soon.